This year we're going to talk about the sugya of bnei banim harehim kebanim, to the extent to which one's children's children are like their children. It comes up in the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, and it's a sugya that really only comes up in Shas, you know, in that lashon of bnei banim harehim kebanim, really in Maseches Yevamos in the context of Pur Revu. But we find that at least a similar notion applies in several other places, meaning we find not only in Pur Revu that there may be a concept that one's grandchildren are like their children and therefore can facilitate the grandparents' kiyum of the mitzvah of Pur Revu, but we also find it in Talmud Torah that there's a chiyuv for a father to teach his child Torah, and that chiyuv may extend back a generation as well to a grandparent, and may be an even greater, if not a greater chiyuv, but a greater kiyum of Talmud Torah when a grandfather teaches a grandchild than when a father teaches a child. Now, a greater chiyuv is certainly on the father, but we'll see maybe a greater kiyum on some level for a grandfather to do it. It may accomplish more on some level, and it also relates to the issue of kibud aveim. Now, we know there's a mitzvah of kibud aveim in one of the Aseres Dibros. What about honoring grandparents? That may also relate to bnei banim harehim kebanim. So I wanted to try to, you know, touch a little bit on each of these topics and how bnei banim harehim kebanim affects each of these topics. And again, the reason I chose this topic is because it came up in the Daf Yomi recently. No other reason than that. In fact, I saw it come up in the Ben Yoyada in the Daf Yomi recently, on not just on Pur Revu, but a couple of Dapim later, after the Pur Revu sugi was over, the Gemara mentions that the concept of a tefillah being listened to when it's a tefillah tzaddik ben tzaddik, being a greater tefillah than the tefillah of a tzaddik ben rasha. And the Gemara derives this from the tefillos of Yitzchak and Rivka when they were davening for children, that even though they were both davening, the pasuk says that Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to his tefillah and not to her tefillah. So the Gemara says, why is it that he listened to his tefillah? Rashi and Chumash quotes all this. Why is it that he listened to his tefillah, not to her tefillah? Because Eino Dome, tefillah tzaddik ben tzaddik, l'tefillah tzaddik ben rasha. The Yitzchak was a tzaddik ben tzaddik, and therefore his tefillah was more effective. So it's a fascinating insight from the Iyun Yaakov. I stuck it in at the end of the Mar Makomos over here, in source number 25. I didn't even have the Iyun Yaakov. I just... from the Ben Yoyada. I didn't even have the Ben Yoyada on hand at the time. I just threw it in at the end from the Masifta, that the Ben Yoyada suggests that this also relates to Bnei Banim Harehim Kebanim. Why is it that the tefillah of the tzaddik ben tzaddik is listened to more than the tefillah of tzaddik ben rasha? Says Ben Yoyada, that's not a rule for all tefillahs. It's not a rule that if you have an option of having two people daven for the Amud, that you should necessarily pick the Tzaddik ben Tzaddik over the Tzaddik ben Rasha. In many ways, intuitively, most of us would probably think it's fairly inspiring to have someone who's an equal Tzaddik, whose father was a Rasha, and managed to overcome that and become a Tzaddik, as great a Tzaddik as the person whose father was a Tzaddik and had every opportunity and had all those chances to learn how to become a tzaddik. So Ben Yoyada says, no, it was specifically in the tefillah that Rivka and Yitzchak were davening for. They were davening for a child. So if they're davening for a child, Yitzchak was coming not only on his own account, but and Rivka also, they're not only coming on their own account, they're coming on the parents' account as well, because Bnei Banim Harehim Kebanim, the grandchild is like a child. So when you're davening for another generation, it goes back a generation also. And that's why the tefillah of the tzaddik ben tzaddik is more effective. Because this is a tefillah not just for Yitzchak and Rivka. It's a tefillah for their parents as well. So the tzaddik ben tzaddik's tefillah is going to be greater. It would turn out, a big nafkamina, that according to the Ben Yoyada, when it comes to other things, when you're davening for other things, for other necessities, the other tzorchim of the tzibur, there is no maila of tzaddik ben tzaddik over a tzaddik ben rasha. I don't think we pass in that way in Shulchan Aruch. I think we pass in Shulchan Aruch when it talks about Hilchos Shliach Tzibur, that there is a preference of a tzaddik ben tzaddik over a tzaddik ben rasha, even when it comes to the Yemei Hadin, where you would think that these are days of tshuva, and you would think the Baal Tshuva would be the best person to put up there, rather than to have the tzaddik ben tzaddik, have the person whose father was a rasha and did it on his own. What? Yes, yeah, so Zechus Avos is what really carries day. And that's the Pashup Shad of the Gemara. That it's about the Zechus Avos, and therefore it's like the midget standing on the shoulders of giants, as opposed to just the midget standing on his own. Obviously, on the shoulders of giants is going to do a lot more. But I thought that was an interesting insight from the Ben Yoyada. But in terms of the Pashtus of the Sugya, of what Bnei Banim Harehim Kebanim teaches us, the primary Sugya is the Sugya Maseches Yevamos and Daf Samach Beis Amr Aleph, going over to Samach Beis Amr Beis. The Gemara says in Samach Beis Amr Aleph, and this is source number one in the packets, and this is the sugya of Puruvu. The Gemara is discussing what it takes to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Puruvu. So the Gemara records, the Mishnah records a machlokas between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, where the Beis Shammai says in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Puruvu, one needs to have two boys. Beis Hillel says one boy, one girl, one son, one daughter, and one is Mekayim, the mitzvah of Puruvu. Remember once when I was in high school, we were learning about Basra, and we got to the sugya of Chatzi Yev Chatzi Ben Chorin, and we had an off day from yeshiva, so I was learning with my chavrusa in yeshiva Farakway, and we were hacking in that Tosfos, and it bothered us a great deal. We were first opening our eyes to the world of learning, like something that was like Aleph Beis, that you need to have one boy, one girl, you know, that was should be pretty simple to be. Like, it bothered us that someone's going to have 10 girls, and you can say he's not Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. So we went over to Rabbi Kalish and we asked him, how's it shaykh? The guy has 10, he has no control over the gender of his children. He has 10 girls, he's not Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. So he said the way he likes to formulate it, although I don't see it really formulated in the Achronim this way, he said it's not that he's not Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. He's Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu with each and every child that he has. He's not putter from the mitzvah of Puruvu until he has a boy and a girl. Which halachically makes a lot of sense, that each child is a kiyum, a mitzvah, and he's getting credit toward the mitzvah for each child, and he's only putter from having more children once he has a son and a daughter. It makes a lot of sense, but you don't find, at least I don't find so much that the Rishonim and Achronim talk in that language. They seem to be assuming that until you have a son and daughter, you haven't actually been mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. But anyway, that's the fundamental machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Gemara talks about a variety of different circumstances. What if a person had children before he converted to Judaism, and then he converted to Judaism? So is he mekayim Puruvu? So one of the examples, one of the cases the Gemara talks about is Rachman al son Itmar Hoylo Banamu Mesu. A person has children and the children perish, the children pass away. Is he mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu now that the children aren't there anymore? Does he have an obligation to replenish, so to speak, to make more children so that it'll be mekayim Puruvu? Meaning, and what would be the lumdus of that question? The lumdus is, what is the mitzvah of Puruvu? Is it a mitzvah to make children, or is it a mitzvah to have children exist? So if it's a mitzvah to make children, so as long as you brought children into this world, that's fine, you were Mekayim the mitzvah. But if it's a mitzvah to have children existing in this world, well then, yeah, you may have been Mekayim the mitzvah, but the mitzvah went away, and now you generated a new chiyuv. Because right now there are no children in this world, so you have to go bring the children in. So, Hayilu Banim Umesu, what's the halacha? Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna holds, Kiyim Piri Rivya, the father is Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. Rav Yochanan Amar lo Kiyim. Rav Yochanan says, no, he is not. Rav Huna Amar Kiyim. Rav Huna says, you are Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu. Why? Mishum de Ravasi. Dam Ravasi, Ein Ben David Ba, Achi Yichlu Kal Hanasham El Shebaguf. He says, one is Mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu, even if his children pass away, because the mitzvah is to bring the neshama into this world. When Hashem decides to take the neshama out of this world, not in our control. Our mitzvah is bring the neshama into this world. Meaning, the purpose of the mitzvah of Puruvu is not about continuing a shalshalas hamasorah, passing on a mitzvah to the next generation and the next generation, in Rav Huna's view. The purpose of Puruvu is to bring Mashiach closer. And the way we bring Mashiach closer is we try to empty out all of the neshamos in this thing called the guf up in Shemayim. It's this warehouse of neshamos, and as soon as that warehouse is empty, Mashiach is going to come. So the more children, the more neshamos we bring into the world, the closer we are to the arrival of Mashiach. That's Rav Huna's view, apparently. That it's all about bringing the children into the world when Hashem chooses to take them out of the world, not our business. And then the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Shenemar, ki ruach milfanai atov. The Pasuk in Shayo tells us that ruach milfanai atov, and it goes on to say, neshamos ani asisi, the Pasuk of ruach milfanai means the neshamos that are in front of me, Hashem is saying, that I was gozer, that they should be, that should be born, that I was once gozer, these neshamos will one day be born, ya atov. They are being ma'akiv the geula. They are holding back the geula. Because until they are all born, the geula can't come. That's Rav Huna. From Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, no. If a person has children, then the children pass away, lo kiyem pirivya. He has not been mekayim the mitzvah of Puruvu, because the purpose of Puruvu is not just check off all the neshamas, send them all into this world, just have them check in and check out of this world. No, the purpose is l'sheves yitzara be'inan. The purpose is to actually populate the world. And if right now the world is not being populated on our account, then we are not mekayim the mitzvah of puravu. We need to see to it that as long as we're here, we have left the world populated. You hear these inspiring stories sometimes of a Holocaust survivor who what was it? It was a story in the news. 60 Minutes had. I think someone sent me. So, yeah, someone sent me a link like around Rosh Hashanah time. It was an earlier story from before then. 60 Minutes had the story of a British businessman who is a non-Jew who happened to have been in Europe in like 1939, and he saw what was going on. He was in Germany or whatever, and he saw what was happening, and he saw that things were not going to look good for the Jewish people. He was not a Jew, but he managed to save. I think he was not a Jew. I'm not sure. He might have been a Jew. I'm not sure. I think he managed to save whatever number of children was, 600 children or something. He managed to save. He had them all brought to England, and he never told anybody about it. They only discovered in like the mid 1980s how these kids got out, and they traced it back to him. They found him, and they said, "How come you never told anybody?" He said, "What do you mean? It's something I did. It's just not something he ever spoke about. It was unbelievable." And they found that he had of those 600 children, over 14,000 Jews are in the world today. Over 14,000 children came about. Because they're unbelievable, remarkable. So that's our job. Just see to it that the world is being populated. It happens exponentially over time. You see that the world is being populated. That's where Rabbi Yochanan says the mitzvah is. So if Rachman al son, a parent has children, and the children pass away, so he's not mekayim the mitzvah because the world's not being populated anymore. V'alekha, there is no sheves. Asks the Gemara, so who's right? Is the mitzvah to empty out each of the neshamos, and as long as it doesn't matter how long they check in and out of this world for, it's just empty out all the neshamos, or is the mitzvah to actually populate the world? So asking our meisvei, b'nei banim, harein kibanim. B'nei banim are considered like banim, having grandchildren, the same as having children. The Gemara assumes at this point that what this means is that if a person loses a child, and that deceased child has a child of his own, the grandchild could combine with whatever surviving child he has to be mekayim puravu. Meaning, a man has a boy and a girl. The son has his own son. And then the son dies. So he has a grandson and he has a daughter. So that in itself, they combine for the mitzvah of puravu. That's the same as having a son and a daughter. Having a grandson and a daughter is the same as having a son and a daughter. The implication is that had the son died and not left any children behind, then the halacha would be that he was not mekayim the mitzvah of puravu. It's only because he actually left surviving descendants, two living descendants, that he's mekayim the mitzvah of puravu. So that's a kasha on the shita of Rav Huna. Rav Huna holds, no, just check the neshamas into the world. That's all you need to do. You don't have to worry about how long they survive or about leaving people actually living. So that's the Gemara's kasha on Rav Huna. So answers the Gemara, no, kitanya hila hashlim. You understand, we misunderstood b'nei banim harein kibanim. B'nei banim harein kibanim means that it's talking about a case where the grandfather only had one child, and that child had a child of his own, that they combine, those two generations combine, that he has a man as a son, that son has a daughter, so good, now he has a son and a daughter, because b'nei banim harein kibanim. But that's and it's therefore not a kasha at all on Rav Huna, because the chalap achos, a person has to check two neshamos into this world. Meisvei asked the Gemara again from this brisa, b'nei banim areihem kibanim, meis echon mehem, o shenimtza saris lokiim peruvivya. The brisa says explicitly, if one of the children dies, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of peruvu. Tiyufta de Rav Huna tiyufta, checkmate on Rav Huna, we reject the shita of Rav Huna. The halacha is that one needs to leave surviving descendants. So if his children pass away and they don't have children, he's not mekayim the mitzvah of puravu. So now the Gemara elaborates a little bit on b'nei banim harein kibanim. B'nei banim harein kibanim savar Abaye lemeimar. Abaye thought we could say that this din, that b'nei banim are considered like banim, bra lebra ubarta lebarta. That if a person's son has a son, and his daughter has a daughter, the kolshkein bra lebarta, and certainly if his daughter has a son, then the grandfather has been mekayim the mitzvah of puravu. Aval, barta lebra lo. But if the man's son has a daughter and no sons, he's not mekayim puravu. That's what Abaye thought. Amalei Rava. Rava says, no. L'sheves yitzara b'inan. The reason for this mitzvah is just to populate the world. Vayika. And he has that. He left both. He had a son and a daughter, and they both managed to continue the chain. As long as they carry the ball forward, as long as they continue the chain, then it doesn't matter how they continue the chain. A man has a son and a daughter, whether it's they both his son and his daughter have daughters, or whatever, as long as they just continue the tradition, that's fine. The kuli almimias tremi chad love. But everyone agrees that if both grandchildren are from one child, that's not good enough. So says the Gemara, really? That's not good enough? V'amile Rabbanan Rav Sheshes, the Chum told Rav Sheshes, Nisiv Itza V'olid Bein, that you should really get married so you could have children. V'amile Lahu, and Rav Sheshes said, B'nei Barti, B'nei Ninhu. It's okay, I have a daughter, my daughter has children, my daughter has sons, so that's good enough, they're my sons also, and I'm a kind of the mitzvah of Puruvu, even though all of them came from one of his children. Says the Gemara, Hasam Dechuye Kamad Chiluhu. Nah, that wasn't really correct, what he was telling them. He wasn't giving them a halachically accurate answer as to why he's not getting married. The real reason he wasn't getting married was Rav Sheshes he akar mi pirkei Rav Huna. And this is something that comes up again in the next half, that Rav Sheshes became physically incapable of having children because he sat in Rav Huna's shiurim. Rav Huna's shiurim lasted a very, very long time, and no one was able to go to the bathroom, so everyone was holding themselves in the whole time, and they physically damaged themselves that they were unable to have children. But it's embarrassing to say that. Someone says, why don't you get married and have children? He was embarrassed to say, because I can't have children. So he rather came up with some strange halachic reason why he doesn't really need to have children. But it's not really halachically true. Good, so that's the halacha. So if we're looking at, if children died, what's the halacha? So we had a machlok samarayim, but the Gemara came to a clear conclusion. If the children died, one still has to have more children, unless the children left children behind. Now, what gender do those children have to be that his children left behind? How many children do they have to have? From whom do they have to come? From both of his children, or from even one of his children? If you look at the Rambam Paskin summarizes it all. Noldulo umesu, he has children and they die. V'inichu banim, and they leave children. Hareza kiye mitzvahs periv rivya. He's mekayim peruvu. B'nei banim areim kebanim. Because grandchildren are like children. B'med var mamurim b'shahayu b'nei abanim zachar unikeva. V'hayu ba'im mi zachar unikeva. So the Rambam says two things you need to have. He needs to leave behind one male, one female descendant. And that male and female descendant have to come from his own children who are at least one male, one female. Now, it doesn't have to be that his son has a son and his daughter has a daughter, but he has to have one male and one female grandchild, and he has to have one male and one female child. However it shakes out, Afal Pisha Zachar Ben Bito Vanekeva Bas Bino, his daughter may have had the son, his son may have had the daughter, that's fine. Ho Vehem Mishnei Banav, Harekiv Mitzvah Puriv Rivya. That's a key in the Mitzvah of Puruvu. Aval, Imhailo ben ubas umesu, but if he had a son and a daughter and they both died, v'iniach echad mehen zachar unikeva, and only one of his children left children behind, even if he left multiple children behind of multiple genders, still lo kiyem mitzvah. He's not mekayem the mitzvah. That's what the Gemara said. It needs to come from both of his children. Now that is the shita of the Rambam. Beis Yosef points out that the Torah doesn't hold that way. That the Torah holds that the grandchildren don't need to have multiple genders. The Torah reads the Gemara the way the simple reading of the Gemara really sounds like, is that if he has a son and a daughter, and as long as the son and the daughter carry the torch forward and pass it on to the next generation, it doesn't matter what the genders are of the next generation. The Rambam must have read the Gemara in a way where he understood that it does matter what the genders are in the next generation. So what's the Nukudas of Machlokas? What are they arguing about over here? Meaning, what the Machlokas, again, just to summarize what the Machlokas is. The Rambam holds, you have to have a son and a daughter of your own. Good? Now, if the son and the daughter die, then they must have left behind a grandson and a granddaughter for you. Now, it has to come from each of them, the grandson and the granddaughter. It can't come from only one of them, but it has to be both. It has to be a grandson and a granddaughter. It could be that your son had the daughter, your daughter had the son, that's fine. It's got to be a grandson and a granddaughter. Whereas the Balei HaTosfos and the Tur and many of the other Rishonim say, no, you have to have a son and a daughter. If that son and daughter are deceased, they have to have each left behind a child. We don't care what the gender of the child that they left behind is. As long as you had a son and a daughter, that's your mitzvah, and they had to each leave behind a child of any gender whatsoever. That's all they had to leave behind. So what exactly is the machlokas over here? Why would the Rambam say that you have to leave behind grandchildren of male and female descendants, and the tour and others say, no, you don't need to leave grandchildren of multiple genders, you just need to leave grandchildren from each of your children. So it would seem that the Rambam understands that the mitzvah of Loshevas Yitzara, of populating the world, and the mitzvah of Puravu, of having a son and a daughter, are really one and the same, meaning that they have to be fulfilled together. You can't separate the two mitzvahs. That one, if one can still be mekayim the mitzvah of Puravu with after his children have passed away, that's because the purpose of Puravu is Loshevas Yitzara, is to populate the world, and he's populating the world with his grandchildren. But the nature of Puravu is that you need to have a son and a daughter. So if he hasn't populated the world with a son and a daughter, well, he hasn't accomplished the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Leshevis and Puravu is one and the same. Puravu means a son and a daughter. Leshevis means populate the world. Means you need to populate the world with a male and a female. So I don't care how it happens, but you have to actually populate the world at the end of the day with a male and a female. Whereas the Tur and many of the other Rishonim must understand that no, these are two independent mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah Puravu. Your mitzvah Puravu is that you need to have a son and a daughter. Good, that's your mitzvah Puravu. Not to have a grandson and a granddaughter, that's not Puravu. Puravu is to have a son and a daughter. There's an additional mitzvah of Leshevas Yitzara, of populating the world. That mitzvah of populating the world is to make sure that your son and daughter continue to populate the world. To make sure that by the time we leave this world, the world is continuing to be populated. But the mitzvah of populating the world is not bound by the gedarim of Puravu. A son and a daughter, that's a Puravu din. That only applies to the first generation. Leshevas Yitzara, that's not bound by the gedarim of Puravu. Leshevas Yitzara is populate the world. It could be all boys, all girls, whatever. You fulfill the mitzvah of Leshevas Yitzara. We don't find that the gedar of Leshevas is limited to the mitzvah of Puravu. The difficulty with the Rambam, though, what? Yeah. Lokim Pirivirivya, right. So you would have to say, I mean, if it's Mesu Ban Mes Achramam Oshinim Tisris, you're not Mekayim Pirivirivya. But sometimes the Gemara will use it interchangeably, right. So that means the Leshevas element of Puravu. The difficulty is, why does the first generation need to be a boy and a girl? Meaning, according to the Torah, I understand very well why the first generation, because that's Puravu. Puravu is a boy and a girl. But according to the Rambam, that Puravu and Leshevas Yitzara are fused, that it's one mitzvah. And the point is, you have to leave behind male and female descendants. Period. That's your requirement. Well, if I have male and female grandchildren, does it matter whether my children are male or female? Especially if the children, if Rahman al-Slan, a person's children predecease him. If he has male and female grandchildren, by the time he dies, why does it matter what gender his children were, according to the Rambam? You know, the Rambam views it as one mitzvah. The mitzvah is leave behind male and female descendants. So you have to say it's more than that. It's one mitzvah of leaving behind male and female descendants, but it has to be done al yedei having your own son and daughter for some reason. That it could be because the Gemara says where does Beis Hillel get the idea they need a son and daughter? We learn it from Mibriyaso Shalolam that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a male and a female. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a male and a female, it must be that you're supposed to each create a male and a female. Our grandchildren are in our own creation. Our children, whether they're Shlosh Hashut and Yesh Ba'adam, his mother, father, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our children are, so to speak, our own creation. So it could be that element of Puravu that we learn from Briyaso Shalolam demands that one produces directly a son and a daughter. And then the general mitzvah of Puravu / Leshevas is to leave behind a male and female descendant. but he has to actually produce a male and female as well. That's how you'd have to touch up according to the Rambam. You have to just add that little point. That's all in terms of the mitzvah of Pru or Revu. There is another very important ramification of B'nai Banim Marrying Kabbalim. Well, another couple, but I don't know if we'll get to both of them. And then the next one, at least, we'll get to, is when it comes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Gemara Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph asks, Ad Heichon Chayav Adam Lamed Es Bnei Torah. To what extent is the obligation of teaching one's son Torah? This is source number 7 on the bottom page 2. To what extent is there an obligation to teach one's son Torah? It's a very tricky question. You can understand that question like 15 different ways. What do you mean, to what extent? How much time do I have to put in? How much Torah do I have to teach them? How much Agmas Nefesh? How much do I have to pay? What does it mean, to what extent? So we'll see from the context. Amar Vidomar Shmuel says, to what extent? Kigon Zvulun Ben Dan. Like Zvulun Ben Dan. Shelimdo Avi Aviv Mikra Umishna Utalmud Halachas Vagados. That his grandfather taught him everything. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachos, Vagados. That's the extent that one has to teach a son Torah. So what does that mean? What was the question? I'm still not so clear what the question was. Was the question, how much do you have to teach him? And the answer is, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Halachos, Vagados? Or was the question, to how many generations do you have to teach? Like Zvulun Ben Dan, where Avi Aviv, that your obligation to teach your son Torah is so great that it even extends beyond your son. It goes all the way down to your grandson. Maybe that's what it's about. So the Gemara is going to clarify. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, really? You have to teach your kid all that stuff? Lamdo Mikra in Malamdo Mishnah. The Brisa says, if you taught your child Mikra, you don't have to teach him Mishnah. Let him worry about Mishnah on his own. Vamarava Mikra Zutora. So all you got to teach him is Chumash. Says the Gemara, Kizvulun Ben Dan Velo Kizvulun Ben Dan. In a chinami. You don't have to do quite what Zvulun Ben Dan did. Rather, Kizvulun Ben Dan Shalimdu Avi Aviv Velo Kizvulun Ben Dan Tilu Hasa Mikra Mishnah Vatalma Halach Svagados Viluacha Mikra Levad. The extent to which one is obligated to teach his child Torah is not about how much you have to teach him. You have to teach him Chumash. But it's about how many generations. It's not enough to teach one's child. You also need to teach a grandchild. The Avi Aviv Mimachayev asks the Gemara, a grandfather is chayev to teach a grandchild? Vatanya, Brisa Darshan's Pasuk, V'limata Mosanus B'neichem, says teach your sons, your children. V'lo B'nei B'neichem, it never says teach your grandchildren. What about the pasuk that says something about letting your grandchildren know? That tells you how great it is to do that. That just teaches you that if you happen to be such a lucky person, or a capable person, or a motivated person to teach his grandson, your grandson Torah, then it's as if the grandchild got the Torah from Har Sinai, and it's as if you taught it all the way to all the generations. It's a really wonderful thing. Not an obligation. Nothing about an obligation. The obligation is only on the father. So how can we say that you have to be like Zvulun Ben Dan, and that the grandfather is obligated? Answer the Gemara Hudi Amar Ketana. When we say that the grandfather is obligated, we're assuming like a different price. Price says, "D'tani v'limata masam esbnechem in liel b'nechem, b'nei b'nechem minayin, tamalomar v'avatam l'v'nechel v'nei v'necha." That we use this puzzle to teach us that the grandfather is actually obligated to teach his grandson Torah. And then the Gemara goes on to say, when you teach your grandson Torah, it's as if he got it from Har Sinai. That's what I was referring to before. That even if the obligation of a father to teach his son Torah is a greater obligation than there is for a grandfather to teach his grandson, we never say that when a father teaches his son Torah, it's as if he was mekablet me Har Sinai. It's only by a grandfather teaching a grandson that we say that it's as if he was mekablet me Har Sinai. So there's something special about a grandfather teaching a grandson, even though the obligation is clearly squarely, or is more squarely on the father's shoulders. So what it turns out in this Gemara is, that does a grandfather have an obligation to teach his grandson Torah? Machlokas between two brises. One brisa says that Vodatam Levanech Levanevanech is telling you how wonderful it is, but it's not telling you Chiyuv. It's B'neichem Velo B'nei B'neichem. Chiyuv is not a grandfather. And the other brisa says, no, Vodatam Levanech Levanevanech tells you that there's a Chiyuv for a grandfather to teach his grandson Torah. How do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? So the source of Marim Yardaya, Sim Reish Mem Hei, Kishem Shemitzvah Lelamed Es Bino, Kach Mitzvah Lelamed Es Ben Bino. just like one is commanded to teach his son Torah, one is commanded to teach his grandson. Shemar v'adatul v'nechul v'nei v'necha v'lo l'ben b'no b'vad. We know the Gemara tells us that Talmidim are also called Banim. So if a person has the ability to have Talmidim, he should try to have Talmidim. And that's also a kiyum of the mitzvah of teaching one's son's Torah by having Talmidim. El shem mitzvah lahaktim b'no l'ben b'no, u'ben b'no l'ben chaver. Shulchan Aruch sets out a very clear hierarchy that whoever you teach Torah to, they're your children, and therefore it's a kiyum of the mitzvah of teaching your children Torah. But your real children come first. Your real children have to be the number one priority. After the real children, then come your grandchildren. After the grandchildren, then comes the rest of the world. It has to dafka be in that way. That's the idea that the father has to teach the son. What's the chiyuv? The Gemara said, teach him mikra. Father doesn't have to be the greatest rabbi in the world. He doesn't have to be able to teach his kid Kala Torah Kula. But he has to be able to teach him basics. He has to be able to teach him Mikra because that's his own personal obligation. As far as the kid learning more, good, he'll learn more somewhere else. That's fine. But the father has an obligation to make sure that he passes on the Mesorah to that child. If the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this child physically his child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended that something spiritual should be passed on from the father to the child as well. A lot of times parents work with the assumption that, you know, I pay all this money in tuition, and we all do, and it's very, very expensive, that why should I bother teaching my child Torah? I'm paying this money so that someone else will do it. The professionals will do it. People who can do it much better than me will do it. But it's important to remember that no one can do it better than us. At least the certain basics, at least certain things that we're supposed to be teaching our children, that, yeah, we do have an obligation to hire a malami and make sure they learn Mishnayos and Gemara and Halacha and Musar and all, and you know, all sorts of wonderful things. But it doesn't take away our own obligation to teach Torah. It may minimize it a little bit, that we don't have to make sure that we're homeschooling them, we're able to school them, we're able to send them to school. And that's a kiyum of the Takana of Rabbi Shobin Gamla, Zachar Oso Ish L'Tov, that he established yeshivos, that he came up with the idea of having Mlande Tinokos, but it never took away, we never take away, the obligation of a father himself to teach the son Torah. Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva. It was written in Tafshin Chaf Aleph. Rav Moshe was writing, apparently after a Daf Yomi Siyum, not on Shas, I think it was just a Siyum that people made on Daf Yomi. Siyum of the Shabbos, maybe it's on Masech Shabbos. And he writes that, first of all, he says, before he gets into anything, he says, you should know that a Siyum Masechta is not only a celebration for the people who are Messiah. It's a celebration for everybody. Which is an interesting idea. I always wonder, like, whenever we finish another Masechta in the Daf Yomi, should only the Daf Yomi participants make a Siyum? Should we make like a Shal Shulis, a Kiddush for the whole Shul, and everyone should participate in the Siyum? Meaning, is there an Indian to reach out and have everyone celebrate in the Siyum? I was just by Rav Asher Weiss yesterday, and he said that his thing, he said, I used to make a lot of Siyumim. It's an understatement. You ever see him? I saw him once on a Friday, and then again on the Matzah Shabbos. On Friday, he was up to Daf Beis and Masecha Shabbos. Gemara Rashi Taisus, and Matzah Shabbos, he was up to Daf Ayin Hei. So, Mustafa, he makes a couple of siyumim, right? He plows through it pretty quickly. So he said he used to be makbid that every siyum he would make at home. He would dafka make in front of his family. Because he said that, he said the biggest threat of our generation, the biggest concern that we have in our generation for our children is that they're exposed to so much. That there's so much out there. They're exposed to more than we would like them to be exposed to, and they're definitely also exposed to more than we know they're exposed to. And he said, and therefore we have it's very nerve-wracking. It's going to be there are so many other things that are so appealing to a child. So he was very, very wisely, he said, building high walls generally, historically, has not done a very great job of keeping children in. Children are able to scale the highest walls that we try to build around them. What's done a much better job historically of keeping children in is making a happy family, making a happy home, making a place where there's a Simchas HaTorah, where we're able to pass on the Simchas HaTorah. So he said for that reason he was always makbid to make a siyum at home, so there's always a party. If dad is finishing the mesecht every 5 minutes, so there's always a party. There's always an excuse for ice cream. There's always something. And it's always a simchas haTorah. And so he said it got to the point where his 11-year-old daughter, when he, this was years ago, his 11-year-old daughter, when he started making a siyum once, started reciting all the bar papas. She knew all of them by heart. He had made so many siyum. Pretty amazing. So anyway, so Moshe says, but a siyum is not just a celebration for the mesayimim. It's a celebration for all of the Talmidei Chachamim. How does he know? Because the Gemara in Shabbos Tav Kuf Yud Ches tells us that Abaye once commented, "Tesili de ki chazina tzurba mirabanan de shalom mesichtei avinu yamatov the rabbanan." That Abaye said, "What I do really well, my good quality is that when I see a tzurba mirabanan be mesayim and mesechta, I make a party for all the rabbanan." Even though it sounds like Abaye was not the mesayim of the mesechta, still he's going to throw a party. But he's not the mesayim. Why is he throwing a party? So Rav Moshe says, it's not a great raya, because Rashi on the spot comments that Abaye was the Rosh Hashiva. So it could be that it's dafka simcha for the person who taught Torah, who trained the people who are making the siyum. Now look what I've done. I've taught them Torah, and now they're making a siyum. It's a wonderful simcha for him. He says, otherwise, why would Rashi comment that he was the Rosh Hashiva? It must be that it's dafka simcha for him. But still, he says, we see that for the other Talmidei Chachamim, it was also simcha, because Abaye didn't just say, I'll make a party for you. He said, I'll make a party for all the Talmidei Chacham. So that's Aleph, Rav Moshe says. A siyum is a very great simcha for everybody. Then he said, and you should know, the idea of learning Daf Yomi is really phenomenal. He says, it's an inyum gadol, because aside from the etzem mitzvah of limud Torah that we're mekayim with whatever we learn, if a person decides, Maseches Makos, 24 blot, I can manage that, and he decides that's going to be his mesechta. So that's what he's going to learn for the rest of his life. He's going to know balpeh, backwards and forwards, but he's not going to learn anything else. Maseches Makos, that's going to be his mesechta. So aside, that's nice, he's mekayim a mitzvah of Talmud Torah every second that he's learning it, but aside from that, there's a mitzvah to learn, kala Torah kula. There's a mitzvah to learn, kol Torah shebuksav, kol Torah shebalpeh. Every time Mori V'Rabbi, Rav Shechter, quotes this from the Shulchan Aruch Rav, or from the different Sfarim that all say there's a mitzvah to learn, kol Torah kula, he always is quick to point out, it's not so hard to learn kol Torah kula. He always says, kol Torah kula could fit on one bookshelf. It's not like, it's not vast libraries. Kol Torah kula doesn't mean every book that was ever printed. It means the basic texts. It means all the Midrashim, Shas, Bavli Yerushalmi and Tanakh, obviously, and so there's probably Shulchan Aruch. It means the basic text. It can fit all fit on one bookshelf, he says. So it's the Moshe Rabbeinu Milsa Zutrasihi. For some people, it doesn't seem so big. So Kilavad Mashmos Akrayi, aside from the from what the Pesukim say, Isa Mikdushin Daf Lamid, Shelimdo Avi Aviv, Mikra Mishnah Talmud Alach Zvagados, Umufurish Amshachayiv. So what do you see from there? From the Gemara we just quoted before, says Rav Moshe, that it's true. A grandfather doesn't have to teach his grandson Kala Torah Kula, but the grandson himself is going to have to learn Kala Torah Kula eventually. Everyone has a requirement to learn Kala Torah Kula, or to have somebody teach Kala Torah Kula. And then in the next paragraph, in the third paragraph of the Tshuva, says Rav Moshe, V'ayim l'lacha Mishnah Parakalaf mitalma Torah l'lacha Beis v'alacha Gimel. Shemizehu makara ramam shapasav, shebischar rak ha'av mechuyav, v'lo acherim. She'ein mechuyav l'nischar melamid el lamid b'chinam k'sheim yicholim. That the obligation to pay tuition is a father's obligation. Other people, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that a father has to teach his son Torah, he's got to teach his grandson Torah, he's got to teach everybody Torah, the obligation to teach everybody Torah is not to pay for it. The obligation to teach everybody Torah is to dedicate your time. If you have some free time to tutor somebody, so to learn Torah with him. That's the obligation, but not to pay to hire a malamid. Mishum demasha shol begmara, heichal chayv lamid espino Torah, shemashma me'ametari tshashel oisad kama doros, yiksha, hayil lekalad mechuyiv lelamid, me'akrad vishnatav levenecha. He says, what kind of question was the Gemara asking? To what extent do you have to teach your son Torah? How many generations does that go? How close a relative do you have to be to have an obligation? And Moshe says, what kind of question? Everybody has to teach everybody Torah. The Medrash Darshins, Vishinantab Levenecha, means Talmidim Kriyim Banam also. So you have to teach everyone. So he says, no, clearly the Gemara's Kasha was, how much of a Chiv do you have to, how closely related do you have to be to have a Chiv to pay for it? That's what I'm told in some of the Lakewood Cheders. They send with the tuition bill to the grandparents with the citation from that Gemara, that the grandfather has to pay for the grandchildren to learn Torah. assuming the father is not paying for it, the real obligation is on the parents. But if the parent's not paying for it, then the grandparent has an obligation to pay for it. No one else has an obligation to pay the grandchild's tuition. There is an obligation on a community to make sure that there are yeshivas, to support yeshivas. But to pay for any given child's education, that's an obligation on his parents and on his grandparents. The yeshivas have to be there, and they have to be supported. He says, even if the Gemara doesn't hold like the Medrash, that there's a chiyuv to teach all Talmidim, it would still work. If there's a mitzvah to learn Kala Torah Kula, how could the Gemara say, okay, the father only has to teach him Mikra? He can't learn Torah Shebal Peh without a teacher. He has to have someone teaching him. Someone's got to teach him. So it must be, it's because other people have an obligation to teach him as well. How? Again, not by paying for it, by volunteering. If you know how to learn a little bit, and there's a kid that doesn't have anyone to teach him, so you volunteer to teach the child. Sometimes, yeah, you have people. People notice these things. They see that there's a child that isn't being taught something that he should be taught, and because of family situations or whatever, and they volunteer to help out whatever they could do. It's a great thing about Klal Yisrael, that people pay attention to these kinds of things. Rav Moshe points out that the Kesef Mishnah is not sure whether a grandfather has to pay tuition. He leaves it unresolved. He says it would be difficult to read the Gemara. You have to say that the Kesef Mishnah understands that the Gemara is not talking about who pays tuition. It's just talking about who is obligated to teach him. That only the father and the grandfather, which would then mean that the Kesef Mishnah holds that it's not the rest of the world's obligation to teach Torah. The final piece about Talmud Torah, I saw in the Tshuva Shurmbach has that maybe B'nai Banim Harayim Kebanim is not only a din in the general chiyuv of Talmud Torah, sometimes there are very specific forms of Talmud Torah. Meaning, we have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah to teach Kala Torah Kulafan, to teach Mikra, to teach whatever Torah there is. But on the Seder night, there's a unique form of Talmud Torah, Vigat Al-Vilcha. So he says, maybe B'nai Banim Vigat Al-Vilcha is Dafka to your children, it sounds like. So it says Rav Shurmbach, he says, I'm a subuk. Maybe the mitzvah of the Gadol Vincha has also been Ebanim Arayim Kebanim. That the Chiv Ha'av in Mila may be Al Ben Beno also. It could be a grandfather as a Chiv to Mal his grandchild, because B'nai Banim Arayim Kebanim Riki Vega writes. Pidin Ben maybe goes on the grandfather also. So maybe when it comes to the Gadol Vincha, it's also B'nai Banim Arayim Kebanim. He says that, but then the difficulty is, why do I need a special pasuk for datam levanecha levnei vanecha? You're chayiv anyway, because bnei banim areim kebanim. So that's what Shurmach suggests: bnei banim areim kebanim, but not kebanim mamish. Meaning, when we say bnei banim areim kebanim, we always have to remember that the father is still the father. A lot of times, the grandfather may want to impose certain ideas. The grandparents have to remember that the parents are still the parents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives these children to these parents because he assumes that these parents are going to know and understand how to deal with that child. Hopefully they'll take Eitzah from the grandparents as well, but it's ultimately the child is ultimately the parents' responsibility. So it's not Kibbanim Mamish. If there is a father in the picture, then it's the father's obligation. It's just that it's more than the obligation on anyone else. And Rav Shurmach suggests that maybe the same thing would turn out, would be true when it comes to the mitzvah, the Yigat Levincha, on the Lela Seder as well. Okay, so we got through two-thirds of it. We didn't get to the din of honoring grandparents, maybe a different time.